You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
I don't know when we was in church or getting ready to leave the house or something like that. And Ike said to me this morning, he said, are you going to go get in that cave again? And I looked at him like he was crazy because I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, didn't you listen to Lisa the last couple of weeks and her talking about going in that cave and going back and remembering all that God had done? And so after he reverberated my brain a little bit, I knew what he was talking about. But you know, we can't live in a cave. It's all right to visit it. It's all right to remember. But there comes a time to move on too. Handala rashatai. This morning we're just going to move on. Praise God. I just love him this morning. I really praise him. You know, it's wonderful. Because whenever you're called upon to fill in and to help Lisa out and stuff like that, and you know there's no way you can begin to fill those shoes, and you think, God, I want to make sure at least that I'm hearing from you. That's first and foremost. I'd rather say five words and know that it's what God has said, what he wanted me to say, than to talk for an hour and it just be Jenny talking, because I could talk for an hour. They asked me to help out at the storehouse yesterday. And I said, you know, I get mixed up in them paperwork and all that stuff. Don't do it too regular. And they said, well, Chris will take care of that. You just pray. I said, well, I can pray. Amen. We had a good time. Amen. And you never know how blessed you are till you go down. And you see the needs that are absolutely overwhelming. Amen. So I thank God this morning for confirmation. Being grandma, great-grandma, great-aunt, I can tell a story. So I'm going to start off with a story, which is confirmation from what something Jim said while he was up here. This story is about a man who was having a hard time. He'd lost his job, lost his wife, lost his car, lost his confidence, lost everything he had. And he didn't know what was wrong. And he couldn't hear from God. So he went every place but God. He had been to somebody in the bar and talked with them. He went to the soothsayer. He went to see some of his buddies, but nobody could tell him what was wrong. And so he remembered that there was an old preacher man lived down the road a ways on an old farm, and he thought, I wonder if that old man could help me at all. Nah, he thought, what would he know? But he couldn't get an answer. He thought, well, What's it going to hurt? I went to see everybody else, and nothing they said helped me, so what's it going to hurt? So he went out and went down the road and went and knocked on the door, and the old man come to the door. And he was an old preacher man and had since lost most of his vision, couldn't hear too well. And the man told him, he said, I'm really having problems. I don't know what to do. I've sought out a lot of people. I've told them my problems. They've given me advice, but nobody has the answer. And he looked at the old man. The old man said, huh? And he said, didn't you hear anything I said? He said, huh? So he began to tell him again. And he thought, well, boy, he can't hear good at all. So he got a little bit closer. And he went back and he began to tell him again. And the old man said, huh? And he thought, if I drove all this way and wasted my time to come out here that somebody can't even hear what I'm saying. And he got over a little bit closer. And the old man said, huh? Who can I get close enough to it? It won't matter. I guess Andy, his family. The old man said, huh? And he got a little bit closer. And he began to tell him his story. And the old man said, huh? Well, he almost had his head on the old man's shoulder. And he thought, what am I doing here? The old preacher man looked at him and said, son, when you get close enough to the Father, you'll hear his voice. Amen. It's not always in the loud noise. Amen. It's not always in the storm. Amen. It's not always in the fire. But sometimes God wants to speak to you out of a still, small voice. So when God gave me that little story, and then you get up this morning, and then I think Sister Lisa talked something last night about hearing the whisper of God. I said, when you hear it for yourself, then you know that you know that you know. So this morning I was all gassed up and ready to go, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit out of Joshua because Lisa's just been so good and so wonderful. And so last week we were sitting here in church and we had the privilege of having my son-in-law with us because he's been making some moves as God had whispered in his ear what he was to do and everything. And Lisa began to preach and Jim hunched me. He said, "Look here, Mom." And he began to slice through there and he said, "Here it is. Right here's where I'm at. That's right where she's preaching. That's right where I'm at." And his eyes was just a sparkling and he was just a grinning. And so when Lisa had asked me to speak, I thought, you know what? I know somebody's been there, done that, walking in it. And nobody can tell you like somebody's walking in it. So I'm saying this morning, huh? And God spoke to my heart. You let him get up and talk a little bit. Let him tell us where he's been, because somebody here needs to hear. Praise God. And nobody can tell you like someone's walked down that road. So my son-in-law, Jim, would come this morning. I'm going to turn it over to him a little while. I promise you, I can trust him. If I trust him with my daughter, I can trust him with anything. Yeah. You tell him that.
So she trusts me, but Pap's still not sure. Yeah, so he still keeps his eye on me every bit. But praise God. The scripture that resonates in my heart always and forever is Hebrews 13 and 8. And it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I mean, it's just, it's right here, right on my Bible, right there. And when you look at that and it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, that's right here. We know how he was.
Yep.
And it says today, and that's what we're doing today. I'm in a testimony mode and I'm saying, this is what he's doing for me right now. And that builds our faith to know what he's going to do for us in the future. And it says the forever part. This testimony, it's about a 4-year testimony. Don't worry, I'm not going to take 4 years to tell y'all, okay? But thank you, Lord. But God will always prepare you for a promotion.
Yes, he will.
And he started about 4 years ago preparing me for the promotion that he's given me right now. And it's not that I'm bragging because it was nothing I did. It was something that he moved me into. And he gave me my education for free. I went to Old Dominion University for 3 years and got my bachelor's degree, and it didn't cost me a dime. I mean, he even paid for my parking passes, everything, fees, tuition, books, every single thing. And I said it was so wonderful, and I was like, Lord, why did I have to go through all this to do this? And earlier this year, I put in an application to work for the government, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, Explosives down in Washington, D.C., and that's when I really heard God's word. God said, this is yours. I've made this just for you. And I said, all right, God. So we started to walk in it, Amanda and I. We started to get our house ready. We started painting the walls in our house. We put new wood floors in our house. We did everything that we knew to do to get our house ready to sell. And I hadn't heard a word yet from the government about that job, but we just knew it. And I got a word from the government through email that said, you're not qualified for this job. And I said, what in the world? And I started reading the email. The email, when I looked at the application, I knew that God had said, this is yours. I didn't read the entire announcement. The announcement said it was an internal hire position. Well, I wasn't internal to the government. I was external. But they said you weren't qualified. So, but you know what? We're going to close that announcement. We're going to open up a new announcement. We want you to apply to that. Because what does God's word say? If he shuts a door, he opens another one. And if he shuts a door, no man can open it. And if he opens a door, no man can close it.
Amen.
So we just knew. And that's when in our spirit, we started to hear. And Amanda and I both said, it's not if, it's when. And that was the key. It's not if. We already knew God had done it. It was when. And we started to look at real estate up here. We knew we were moving. We got our house ready. We got everything ready because we knew that God had put us in that position. So I reapplied under the new announcement that they had given me. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, I got another email back from them and said, you've been disqualified because you didn't fill all your paperwork out. And you know how the government is about paperwork now, you know? And they said, you didn't fill all your paperwork out. So out of the blue, I said, you know, wait a minute. I sent an email to the HR person and I said, I know you don't have to tell me anything, But I'd really appreciate it if you'd let me know what I didn't fill out so that the next time I'd know what I was supposed to do. Because, again, we had gone past that. It wasn't if, it was when. And if it wasn't this position, we knew that God would give us something else. But I still knew it. I was still holding on. And I told Amanda, I said, I heard when I put this announcement in that this was mine. And I claimed it and I was going to get it. I mean, that's just the way I know. Because, you know, at the church that I had gone to for 21 years there in Virginia Beach, a rock church, I was Bishop's personal security guy for 15 of those 21 years. And she called me the bulldog. She said, if I ever got onto something, I wasn't getting off of it. So, you know, I got onto God a long time ago, and I ain't getting off of that either. So I'm going to hold on.
Amen.
And anyhow, the HR person actually sent me an email back that said, you forgot to fill out this one government form that gave me a 10-point preference because I was a veteran. I said, well, I sent it. She said, no, you sent the letter from the VA that said you were disabled, but you didn't fill out the form. And I said, okay, I understand. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'll know next time when I fill it out. About a week and a half later, I got another email from the same person that said, you're the most qualified candidate for the position. When can we interview you? And I was like, I sent it to Amanda. Amanda said, wait a minute, isn't this the job that you were disqualified for? And I said, you know what? God just opened the door again. And every time he did, he opened it wider. And I went farther, and I went farther. And so I interviewed, and I set it up. I was going to take the day off work, drive up to Washington, D.C., meet my boss, and do the whole, you know, in the suit kind of interview thing. The day before, she called me on the phone. She said, do you really want to come to D.C.? I was like, I really want this position. I'll do what I got to do. And she's like, well, you have a good job. We don't really want to make it uncomfortable for you, and we think we can find everything we need to on the phone. So why don't we just do a phone interview? It'll be easier for you and us. So I didn't even have to come up to D.C. I spoke to that woman for an hour and a half on the phone. It was the easiest conversation I had with a new boss. We just hit it off fantastic. And no less than three times, she asked me, she said, can my boss call you back next week? Can my boss call you back next week? And I was like, sure. And that was on a Friday. Monday morning at 9:30, her boss called me back. And I spoke to her for about half hour, 40 minutes. And again, it was just an easy conversation on the phone. And I asked her, I said, well, when do you expect to make a decision? She said, well, we've been under an external hiring freeze for 2.5 years. And we want to move fast before they change their mind. And I said, okay. So she said, we'd be about a week. Well, 2 weeks later, I got an email from them that said I was not selected. So I was like, okay. I went farther than I ever thought I would, you know, and I know that God's going to have something else for me. So I wrote an email back to her, to the boss and her boss and the HR person, just thanking them for taking the time to interview me, to get to know me, to help me through the process. And that in the future kind of thing, if there was ever anything that they could do for me, or, you know, they ever had another position open, that they would consider me. 2 weeks later, I got an email from the boss that said, hey, I'm really glad to have met you too. And if you're still interested, there may be a way. She said, the government is under a mandate to hire veterans now. So we can open up a position and make it just for you under a veteran special exemption. They've been under an external hiring freeze for 2.5 years, and they're going to make a position just for me. And I'm telling you now, that's God. That's nothing but God. And, you know, God's word said he's no respecter of persons. So he did it for me. He can do it for anybody. He'll make a position. If he's going to promote you, he's going to have you ready for it, and he's going to make that position for you. I still had not even met my boss or her boss yet. And now, here I am. I'm hired. I filled out all the application, all the forms. I got the official call that said, we want you, and you need to submit to a background security check. And I'm like, okay, I've got 30 years of government security clearances. I'm not worried about this. And it did. It went through in about 2.5 weeks. They said, it's never gone through that fast. Mine did. Again, it's nothing but God.
Amen.
They called me in. They said, when can you start? They wanted me to start the 8th of October. I was like, well, that's a little bit soon. We just got our house on the market. And so I actually started October the 22nd down in D.C. It's scary because my entire adult life, from the time I was 18 to now, 31 years, and it's not that long, but my entire adult life has been centered around the Navy. 21 years of active duty, 10 years as a contractor teaching sailors. And now I'm moving into a spot where it's all new to me. I'm not around sailors anymore. I'm not teaching sailors anymore. The Navy's not a focal point of my life. But God has a way of moving you on.
Yes, He does.
And it is so different going into that office. I have a boss that tells me now every day how glad she is to have me on her team. I've been there all of 2 weeks. And I'm telling you, it's the favor of God, because the other part of it is that there's a mandate at ATF that says you have to be there 90 days before you can telework, before you can be able to work from home. I got my token on Wednesday. I started on Monday. I got my token on Wednesday. I started working from home that first week, that Friday. She told me, she said, I know you. I trust you. You're a professional. And she said, and this is the way it's going to work. You're going to start right away. So, I mean, when God moves you into a position, He makes everything possible.
Yes,
and that's the key for me. I mean, you know the old adage that says hindsight is 20/20. And that's that ability that God gives us to look back and refresh ourselves on everything that He's done for us over the years. And like many Christians, I have an arsenal of testimonies. God has brought me through a lot of different situations, a lot of different things, not just with education and jobs and houses. And I mean, He's just saved my life. Because I may not look it, but my health has not been the best. And I had been under so much stress in that job that I had down in Newport News. I had 8 people working for me, and I had a $4.5 million budget responsible to the government. And I was having to do weekly reports and be responsible for those 8 people and 90 different lessons. And it was a lot of stress, and it was high, because we had to hit this one out of the park because our company had stumbled in the past, and we really had to make this one work. And it was killing me. My sugar numbers had been way up. My blood pressure was up. The medications, I mean, I take, you know, I call it a second breakfast because I take so many pills in the morning. But, you know, God has a way of moving. There is no stress at all in this job. You know, people talk about a commute. My commute in the morning is a 2-hour train ride. And everybody goes, man, that's a long train ride. It's relaxing.
Amen.
I get on a train at 5 o'clock in the morning and go back to sleep for an hour and a half.
Amen.
I don't have to drive. I don't have to worry about traffic. That train crosses 270 twice, and I see the traffic bumper to bumper backed up, and I thank God every day that I'm not in the middle of that anymore. I used to have to go over 2 bridges and a tunnel to get to work. It took me over an hour to go 30 miles. You don't need that kind of stress. And when God moves you and He promotes you into those places, He takes all of that.
Amen.
And He gives you a new beginning. And He's like I said, He's no respecter of persons. He did it for me. I know that He does it for other people. And He continues to do it because it says His word says that. His word says He's the same yesterday, today, forever. And when we walk through it, one of the keys that I learned, one of the benefits of being Bishop's personal security guy for 15 years was the closeness that I had with her and the mentoring that I got from Bishop John Jimenez and Bishop Ann Jimenez through the years of being so close to them, to a point where Bishop John called me Bubba, and we'd go fishing together, okay? But we would be in the boat, and just the man would just pour into us all the time, and he would always tell us that what we were going through was our necessaries. And you go through your necessaries not just for you, but because somebody else on the other side was going to need them.
Amen.
And I'm telling you that when I heard that word that said it was mine, without a doubt, I knew it, and I started to walk out into it, because that's what we were told. If you got to walk in faith, and if you hear a word from God. And it only takes one word, just one word from God. You can go through anything in your life because you just know that you know that you know that He's got your back. And that He told you that that's where you're going. And there's no doubt in your mind, that's where I'm going to end up, you know. So in that, we did. We made preparations. We painted the house. We, you know, did what we had to do, fixed things that, you know, everybody lives with all the time and said, you know, we can live with that, but doesn't help the house to sell. So We started doing all that fixing and all the modernization of the house and doing all that before we ever found out that I had this job. We walked on a piece of property in July. Matter of fact, it was Amanda's birthday weekend. We had come up for the weekend. We had been looking at some property, and this was in July, and I didn't find out for sure I had the job until the middle of September. But we just knew it. We went and looked at a piece of property, and we walked this part of this 10 acres of ground, and her and I both fell in love with it right off the bat. And I heard in my spirit as I walked that ground, it said, "Everywhere you put your foot, I have given thee." And I just believed that, and I just held it to myself because I thought I heard it to myself. When we were on our way home that weekend, Amanda asked me, she turned in the car and she said, "Jim," she said, "when we were walking that ground, did you hear anything from God?" And I told her what I heard. She had heard the exact same thing. And to me, that's the most important part. My wife is more than just my wife. She's my helpmate. She's my soulmate. She's what God gave me. And sometimes we argue, we fuss, we carry on, but you know what? There's no one else for me. I mean, that's just it. And they talk about a Proverbs 31 wife. I said, "You haven't met mine yet." You know, because that's my wife. And that's the biggest thing, because once you team up and the two become one, as the Bible says, amen, there's nothing you can't go through. And that's just been my keys to know that not only can we look back at a testimony and help strengthen somebody up, but the fact of the matter is that when you hear that word, and Jenny and I were during praise and worship today, I leaned over. Before we came to church, Jensen Franklin was talking about a whisperer for God on a TV, and he had a message for his church and for the viewers, and it said, "God's biggest whisper are yet to come in your life." And I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. And then, you know, we were talking and we were hearing, you know, God speak, word of God speak. That's that whisper. But what I told Jenny is, I said, once you hear that whisper, once you hear that voice, then you got to get to stepping. Because that's when you make it real. When you step out in faith on that word that you heard, that enables God to work in your life. Because you could sit there on that word all day long and nothing will ever happen. But when you walk out in faith, when you take that step and say, "God, I heard your word, I'm believing it, no matter what I see, no matter what I hear, I'm walking in it because I heard it from you," he honors that and he promotes you and he blesses you. Amen. And that's something that I've learned over the years, and I've got a lot more learning to do. But I'll tell you, that arsenal that you have of testimonies, and every one of them, every person in here that's been saved, has an arsenal of testimonies, and they're for strengthening you through those hard times. When you're going through a rough place, when you're going through a place, you can look back and say, "You know what? God did this for me when I was here, or God did this for so-and-so when they were there, or that." And you can draw on that because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes, he is. Amen.
You know, it's not easy to travel a couple hundred miles and leave your wife and your kids and your home and sit down and be at home. He's got himself an apartment in Martinsburg. Everything's just worked out wonderful. Everything just went click, click, click and fell into place. And you've got to be at peace with that, because that is not an easy thing to do. Praise God. I'm going to talk to you just a little bit over in Joshua, about where Lisa's been talking to us. And I just want to read to you, I'm in the first chapter, and I'm just going to read the first couple verses. Because like Jim said, you can hear the word of the Lord, but you've got to move on it. You have to be ready to move. And if you don't, I don't care what God tells you, nothing's going to happen unless your boat begins to sink. That might give you a little bit of initiative. Lisa's been talking to us about packing our bags and getting ready to move. And it's a state of mind we're moving into. It's being a little bit more less worried about what we've done and what we haven't done, but it's what God's done. Because when you get up in what you do, the enemy will bring you down by your thought process till you think, oh, I can't say or do anything. I've messed up so many times. So our mind, we have to be ready to move into a state of mind that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And that's the beginning and that's the end. If we're going to look at our mistakes, we'll have a battle of throwing mud and nobody would be good enough to do anything. So we have to stand up in God and say, I know. And this past week, I had my 48th anniversary in being born again. And when I got to thinking back over, and I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't know anything, and yet he saved me. Isn't that something? I didn't have to give him a 10-page report. I didn't have to fill out any papers. I just knew I needed a Savior, and I ran to that little Nazarene altar, and I gave God my heart because it just wasn't working the way it was, and I needed something else. Didn't know much about the Word of God. I'd opened up the Bible when I dusted it. That's just about all there was to it. But that day changed my life. It began a process. And so when Ike was kidding me about, was I going into the cave? To remember where I'd come from and Grandma Barker praying for me and things like that. Yes, I remember the goodness of God, but I also know we have to move in Him. So I want to read you this morning. After Moses, a servant of the Lord, died, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And the Lord said, my servant Moses is dead. Now, he wasn't being disrespectful in saying that. Him and Moses had gotten along. He had talked to him. Moses had talked to God. And he wasn't being disrespectful. He was just saying it was the end of an era. It's just an end of an era. And so you can sit there and mourn and keep your head down and say all boo-hoo and woe is me. Or you can get up and go on. And God's plan was for them to go on. He still had a plan. It didn't stop with anybody. There was still a plan. Now you and all these people go across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving to the Israelites. I promised Moses I would give you this land, so I will give you every place you go in the land. And you know, it's so important that we don't stop. It's so important that we listen to God. And it's so important for Joshua. My goodness, it's hard to get up here and speak. Can you imagine how Joshua felt that day when he had to get up and tell them we're going to cross over because they had listened to Moses, and Joshua probably felt so inadequate in what he was going to do. And what if everybody else had an opinion and said, well, Moses did it this way. Moses said this. This is what Moses did. This is the way we thought. We could go talk to him. He would listen to us. And how do we know this is what you're going to do? But Joshua said, I've heard from God, and we're going to cross over. And so we have to really have a willing mind to listen and to follow our leader. You're taught that as a little kid, to follow your leader. God has put Lisa in a place of leadership. And you know, Lisa's not a loud person. She speaks pretty quiet. It was hard for her to get up and become a minister because that's really not who Lisa was. She was the most unlikely candidate out of the House family to be our pastor. I was around, saw all of them grow up. I saw the difference in each one of them. And Lisa was bashful and shy, in the corner, never assertive. And I saw her grow and grow in what God has done in her life. So I'll really encourage you all. If she says something, listen. You listen. Because if she tells you something, she's heard from God. She has heard from God. When I want to hear from God, I'm not always around the crowd. I'm not listening to television. I go to my bedroom. I've got to go, and I've got to go where it's quiet. And I've got to say, God, you've got to show me, and you have to tell me, because I've got to know that I know that I know that what I'm saying is from you. And I have heard Sister Lisa say things that just rock my world. I think, my goodness, I never even saw that scripture that way. I never even thought of it. after all these years, and it's alive again. It's alive and it's new. I'm excited about coming into the house of God. I'm excited about following her leadership. I'm excited about what God's going to do. Am I anxious to cross a river? No, I'm not. Am I anxious to pack my bags and get back out and do whatever God wants me to do? No, I'm not. I've got a million excuses. I'm going to be 70 years old. I like sitting on the side porch and listening to the radio or watching the mountains, seeing the deer run through the field or something. But that doesn't help out God's cause. Yes, I can pray. But when he says, get up, pack your bags and be ready to do something, you can trust him. You can trust him, number one, to answer your prayers, because when you're obedient, he'll answer your prayers. I thank God that my daughter and son has come home after 25 years. It's going to be wonderful. So anyway, I really want to encourage you this morning. If God speaks to you and tells you to prepare yourself because he's going to move you, first of all, he's going to begin up here. He will speak it in your ear. It'll become in your mind. And I'm not telling anybody he's telling you to move. I'm just telling you that if you'll listen to him, we will have a different mindset and a more willingness to be obedient to him no matter what he tells us to do. When Jim was going to leave the church down there, my goodness, what's that church, what, 3,000, 4,000? I mean, it's huge. And I said to him the other morning when Lisa was speaking, we were singing and stuff, I said, it's really different, isn't it? Coming into a small church, he said, it's still God. It's still God. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for God and where he'd have us to go and what he'd have us to do. You packing your bags and getting ready to move in God, if you're praying for God to do something for you, be ready when he answers and do what he says. He may speak in a still small voice. Ellen's not in here, but I get tickled at Ellen when she comes and visits Aunt Jenny. I don't know if I get loud or excited. I really don't know why she says it, but every now and then she'll say, Aunt Jenny, Aunt Jenny, be quiet. Be quiet. Maybe Joyce has told her this. I don't know. And then she'll say, now calm down. She has these great facial expressions. She'll say, calm down. I get real tickled at that. And I think sometimes maybe that's what God tells us. He might tell us just to calm down. Because if you're going through a bad situation and he calls you to get out of the boat and to walk on the water, you can do okay unless the wave wants to knock you down. But if you stay in the boat, it could start sinking. And you'd say, well, well, that wave knocked me down. It really knocked me for a wallop. But in the boat, it might be sinking, but it's only sinking a little bit at a time, so I'm safer in the boat. Not necessarily so if God tells you to get out, because it is still sinking. You know, they say you can put a lobster sounds better than a frog, but anyway, you can put it in a pot of boiling water, in water, and as it boils, it accepts the heat of the water, and it's cooked before it knows it. And sometimes we can get so comfortable where we're at that it's too late sometimes because you didn't move when God told you to move. So I just really want to encourage you that it's easier to listen to God and get knocked down by a wave than it is to stay in a sinking boat. So, and you know what? None of us likes moving or doing a different job. Monty, anytime you ever had to change job, it's never easy, is it? I mean, you just think, oh, I've been here, I'm comfortable. I want to stay here or something like that. But sometimes if God speaks to your heart to move, it's because he wants to bless you. Whenever Ike was laid off, he hated it. He said, I hate going to that unemployment office. I don't want to do it. I'm going to go find some kind of work. And so when he told the woman at the unemployment office, he said, yeah, I don't like doing this. And she said, well, there's a little test you can take, and it'll kind of show us what you're suited for, and we'll try to find you some kind of work. I'm not sure just what it was, but anyway, something to do with these hands and stuff like that. And he did that, and she said, boy, I'll tell you one thing. You're not suited for factory work. She said, your mind works faster than your hands. And she said, you wouldn't be suited for factory work. But she said, have you ever thought about going into sales And he looked at her because he knows a lot, but he don't tell you a lot. And he wasn't real quick to think he could go into sales. So he come home that night and he said, you'll never believe, he said, what that woman told me down there today. She said, I couldn't work in a factory. My mind and my hands don't work together. But she thought maybe we ought to take a real estate class and go into real estate. And that was as foreign to us, as foreign as anything could have ever been. I'm telling you. And I said, well, I'm not unemployed. I'm still mom. I go to school with the kids and do homeroom mother and stuff like that. I still got a full-time job. And he said, well, I don't want to do this unless you do it with me. Now, I want you to know that I quit school at 16, and I got married. And I thought, man, I'm not educated. I can't do that. But during the time that I knew Betty's mother back here, Gladys, she was on the school board and hospital board and things like that. And she said, Jenny, why don't you go back to school and get your GED? And I thought, yeah, what for? And she said, well, I just think it'd be a good thing. And so I went back to school and I got my GED. I had folded it up, put it away, and didn't think anything else about it. But God prepared me even in that, because he knew that someday I just might need it. And so I'm really encouraging you, if God speaks to your heart about something, listen and obey, because you don't know what else he may have for you. You might think you're at the best spot you've ever been and doing the best that God has for you, but I'm telling you, it's a new day in God. And if we'll prepare ourselves, not just for the things of the world, but the things of God, he's going to make some changes in who we are and what we're doing. And it's all going to be good stuff. And you're saying, well, Gene, what did Lisa tell you? She didn't tell me nothing. She didn't tell me a thing. But I've listened to a small voice that tells me we're going to do some things. Yep. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be with Lisa. God put her here. I'm going to cross that river. I don't know where it's going to take us to, but I'm going to be ready for that. I'll never forget last year whenever they were down at the women's meeting. Was it last year? I guess it was. Anyway, and I told the Lord, I said, I want to start going up front. I want to start have a worship team. Let's get up there and begin to praise the Lord, because it helps the preacher if you move up and you begin to move out. And it does. So we've been doing some of that, and it's really helpful. But I just want to, I don't want to question God. I don't want to question God. I don't want to be one of these people that sat back and said, well, Moses did it this way, or somebody else did it a different way. And I'm not being critical in saying that. I'm just telling you that God has raised Lisa up. Let's get behind her. It's a new day. And let's just see what God has in store for us. And we can rejoice at it, because there is nothing to make our pastor any happier than us standing up and saying, we're going to do whatever you want to do. We're with you. If God tells you, we're right there with you. And we're going to cross over and be what you'd have us to be. Praise God. And that's really all I've got this morning. I wanted Jim to come up and share with you, because I knew it would bless your heart. I see what God's doing in him and Amanda's life. And it's given me great courage to try to do other things. Praise God.
Amen. Love you. That's good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise